Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that sins are always in us and in our heart. We confess that we are the wicked sinner before you. But also we confess that because of your kindness, your goodness, and your grace and your mercy, you have given us opportunity to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus by believing in Him who died for our sins and who become our sin. We can be here to look upon you and to call upon your name because we are your children in Jesus Christ. Father, give us wisdom to always remember that we are nothing but a dust. We are nothing but a breath. We are nothing but a transient and mortal before the God of eternity. And today we ask your Holy Spirit to help us to truly understand who we are without Jesus, and truly understand who we are as a new creation in Jesus Christ, so that our life will be consumed for the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prayer is one of the most compelling evidences for a true revival. Without prayer movement in a revival, we have all the reason to doubt if such revival is genuine. It was indeed a prayer meeting 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem upon which the outpouring of the Holy Spirit touched down. And the history was never the same. A.W. Tozer said, "It is a considerable truth in the idea that revivals are born after midnight. For revivals or any other spiritual gifts and graces come only to those who want them badly enough." And he goes on to say, "It may be said without qualification that everyone is as holy and as full of the Spirit as he wants to be. He may not be as full as he wishes he were, but it is most certainly as full as he wants to be." And I believe prayer is like that too. We can pray as much as we want to be. Maybe, perhaps we don't, because we don't want to get there. But nonetheless, prayer is a channel of revival. Without prayer, there would be no revival. So the question is then, how shall we pray? How shall we pray? So we are going to develop four ways to pray from Exodus 33. Would you please turn with me to Exodus 33? We are going to read verses 10 through 18. Exodus 33, and also written in your sheet, and also presented on the PowerPoint here. So here's the word of the Lord. "When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up his people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found in your favor? I have found favor in your sight, and I and your people. It is not by your going with us so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which I have spoken. For you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. You know, this episode is a continuation of what happened after the golden calf incident we looked at last week. A big repentance was taking place among the Israelites, recognizing their own condition of their heart. And they realized their grave sin of making an idol and worshiping it. Out of this dark valley experience of sin, a spiritual revival was about to take place in the camp. So from this episode, let us discover four important ways of prayer for revival. Let's look at verse 10 once more. Verse 10, when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. So the first the point I'd like to make is how to pray for a revival. It's very simple. Be available for God. Very simple point. Be available for God. You know, when Moses called people together in the tent of meeting, which was at the distance from the camp, some people who set their heart came all the way to the tent of meeting. You know, if you imagine how big their camp was, with about 2 million people, just crossing the camp would have taken a long time to get to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. So they took their time to make themselves available before God, and this, which is a very important step for prayer. We need to make ourselves available for God. When they did that, they saw the pillar of cloud, which they have not seen for a long time. So when they saw the pillar of cloud resting upon the door, the gate of the tent of meeting, they realized that now God is returning to them. So it was an assurance for them to see the pillar of cloud at the tent of meeting. They did not see the trace of God or any assurance of God's presence upon them for a long time, but this day they saw it. So this is actually a very important beginning of a revival that took place in Moses' generation. So a prayer in general is foremost the business of time. I haven't figured out praying without spending time with God. Time is a very honest commodity. You can measure starting time and ending time, and that's the time that you pray. There's nothing that, there are no other means other than spending time with God if we want to pray to God. So you have to make yourself available for prayer to God. A very honest commodity. And are you available for prayer? Are you available for God? Be available for God. It can be either in your personal prayer or in a corporate prayer that matters for revival. And prayer plays a central role, you know, in any revival. It always begins with a person's dedicated time wrestling upon the Lord to the Lord. That's, the change has to take place, starting from himself or herself, and the whole church and the whole nation. So individuals need a prayer for revival, and churches need a prayer for revival. Without prayer, there is no spiritual revival. So let us make ourselves available for God. Now look at verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just a man speaks to his friend. And when Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. So we see a very strange scene here, and then I'd like to make a second point. Be expectant from God. How to pray? Your expectation is so important. Be expectant from God when you pray. You know, there are two things here in verse 11. First of all, God spoke to Moses face to face in the tent. You know, the way God spoke to Moses was as if a man speaks to his friend. You know, what does this mean? This means God and Moses were having conversations, casual conversations, in a two-way, bi-directional way of communication. It's not just Moses just cry out to God in 100%. Also, it is not God was speaking to him 100%, but it was conversation. You know, prayer has to be a bi-directional conversation. We think that we just pray to God, but actually we need to hear from God. That completes the prayer. But the point here is that Moses expected much more than just seeing the pillar of cloud. It's good that he saw the pillar of cloud back to his tent, so that he can see the glory of God. But he was pursuing much more than that. He actually expected to talk to God and hear from him, you know, bi-directional communication. When you expect God will speak to you, he will. You know, but a lot of times I have people saying that, oh, God doesn't speak to me. If you believe in that, God will not speak to you. So we need to lift up that mindset. Oh, God will never speak to me. That's actually, I don't know who imposed that idea, but we need to lift that up and expect God to speak to us each time we pray. You know, when you expect God will speak to you, you know, your antenna needs to be set to the channels of God's communication. I think Moses did that. He tuned his channel of ear so that he would be able to hear God's channel. So he channeled his ear to be able to hear the word of God, the wave of God's voice. Because Moses did not have a Bible, so to speak. There's nothing. So he had to really keen on to hear the God's voice. It was much harder for him to hear the voice of God. But for us, we have a Bible. As you read Bible, we can hear what God says already in the scripture. And also, he may speak to you on a personal level. So prayer was not a heavy burden, but a casual conversation to Moses. He developed that relationship with God. So expect to hear God's voice in your prayer. In the beginning, God spoke, and he continued to speak to the nature and to the people. But only those who are expectant from God will hear God's speech and receive more of God's blessings. So expectation is very important. The size of your expectation is the size of your faith in God, that God can do that. God can speak to me. Nothing is impossible with God. Why would God hinder us from hearing His voice? He would not hinder that. It's our mindset. We need to be lifted up so that we believe that God can speak to us. But in verse 11, we see another picture in this verse. It's about Joshua. Moses' servant Joshua did not leave the tent when everybody left the tent, including Moses. I'm not sure if Moses asked Joshua to stay longer or Joshua voluntarily stayed longer at the tent to continue to pray with God or not. But nonetheless, Joshua is the one who had a strong desire to pray with God longer. I think the length is important at times. Some people say length is not important in prayer. We just pray, whatever prayer is important. I agree with that, but on the other hand, the length of prayer oftentimes is very important because God may not reveal His goodness, His voice at one shot. But Joshua was wrestling with God while everybody was resting in their camp. So because he expected more from God, he was not satisfied just seeing the pillar of cloud. It's a great thing to see that, but he wanted to hear from the Lord in the tent. Suppose Moses and Joshua were expectant from God. Prayer was not something to pass on. But they invested their time to God in a high expectation. I talked about Niagara Falls last week, maybe a couple weeks ago. When he got there, it was so awesome, especially Canadian side. But we are kind of looking at it from a distance because we didn't get to the Niagara Falls. And many people, wow, with the Niagara Falls and move on by staying there, taking pictures and so on. But when you take boat and come near to the bottom of Niagara Falls and looking at it from the bottom, that's a completely different scene of Niagara Falls. Actually, we did. And it was very scary to be near the fall. I heard that it's 100 million tons of water falling in a minute or so. And, as we get closer to the, fall, I was, sensing that, oh, it's so scary. I may die if I go further. So the boat doesn't go, the further to the, the fall because you're going to die, but that's a different experience than just, from a distance in the parking lot seeing Niagara Falls. Wow, this is great. I think prayer is like that. Prayer is not something that we cannot just pray once and move on. There are steps that we're going to get closer to God and you're going to see different aspects of God and you are drawn more and more to see God. So expect something happen when you pray. That's very important attitude, especially for revival. Now let's look at verse 12, first part. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me." The first point I'd like to make based on this verse and later verse is be interceding for others. In your prayer, be interceding for others. We don't know if the sin in this verse is the same day as the day when people saw the pillar of cloud in the tent of meeting. But one thing for sure is that Moses continued to pray with the Lord. This time Moses was pressing on in his prayer for God, for the sake of people of Israel. Revival cannot be contained within you. It has to take place with people and among the people. That's why he was interceding for other people. You know, prayer for intercession is essential for a revival to take place because, you know, revival may start with an individual, but it cannot be contained with an individual. It gotta spread. It gotta be contagious. That's why prayer for other people, prayer for the generation, prayer for the nation is a very important part of prayer for revival. You know, we need to pray for the repentance of our generation, including our sin. Not just saying that, oh, you know, I'm okay, that this guy is a sinner. We need to intercede for the sins of this culture. And present the people to God in your prayer. You know, we've been praying that, you know, the leaders of the nations would repent. I believe that prayer is very important. And I expect God will do, really show up in their dreams or whatever, so that they would repent. That seems to be the only way for some nation. Like I heard Iran, many people see the dream of Jesus in white robe, and they freaked during their sleep, and they turned to Jesus Christ. And I believe God can do the same thing for Donald Trump and Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un or whoever seems to need to be converted in a genuine term. If one person changed, like a president of China, to Christian, I think that will have, you know, enormous impact. You know, I pray that way. You know, some people say that's stupid. God's not going to listen to that. We'll see. I pray that. I press on. We press on Kim Jong-un who genuinely repent so that he would not go to hell for all the crimes and sins he committed. There's an opportunity for him to repent by the grace of God. And our prayer can help, you know, to that happen. You know, intercession, I would say, is a width of prayer. Prayer has two dimensions, depth and width. And intercession for others is a width of prayer. It widens up. At the cross, Jesus prayed for the sinners. And he said, Father, please forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. And he prayed for the sins of whole Israel. He was up against the whole human race, so to speak. And he still prayed for the people who do not know the true God. And that's why, you know, the intercession, intercessory prayer is a width of prayer. But another dimension is the depth of prayer, which is intimacy. You know, deep down with the Lord. Look at verse 12, second part of 12 and 13. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. And consider, too, that this nation is your people. So Moses continued to intercede for the people, but here we find another dimension, which is intimacy. Be intimate with God. You know, at the core of Moses' prayer is, I may know you. I want to know you more. It's not about interceding for others, that's a waste, but now he's getting down deep with the Lord so that he may know God. But verse 13 seems to be a little bit problematic. Look at this. I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Isn't it strange? Confusing, isn't it? If I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. It's kind of circular logic, isn't it? What does that mean? I think this is something like this. Having find favor in your God's sight is the reason for Moses' intimate knowledge of God, because God allowed that. By God's favor, Moses knew God at the intimate level. But in turn, because Moses knew God at the intimate level, that is actually the result of... let me do it again. I was confused. Okay. It looks like that having find favor in your God's sight is the reason for Moses' intimate knowledge of the Lord. Correct? Because God's favor, I know God. But at the same time, having find favor in God's sight is a result of Moses' intimate knowledge of the Lord. So knowing God intimately gains Moses God's favor. Because, you know, basically God's saying, I favor you so that you know me. But because you know me at the intimate level, I favor you even more. Have you heard of grace upon grace? You know, John 1:16, for all of his fullness, we have all received, and grace upon grace. You know, by God's grace, we are saved. And when we are saved, we experience more of God's grace. Making sense? So God's grace is the reason why we are saved. But when you are saved, we experience even more of grace of God. I think that's exactly what's happening for God's favor upon Moses in the equation of his intimacy with God. Because God favors him, so he gets to know God more. But because he gets God to know more, he gains God's favor. But the point here is that between those God's favor, Moses' desire is, I may know you. I may know you. I may know you. You know, when everybody was resting in the camp, Moses was still wrestling in the tent of meeting to know God at the more intimate level. He pressed on and on and on. The pillars of cloud resting upon the tent of meeting was not good enough for Moses to be satisfied. God's splendor manifested in the pillar of cloud was awesome to watch, but Moses wanted to know God personally. He doesn't want to be just a spectator. He wants to feel for it, feel for God. Just Niagara Falls. Wow, it's great, you know, from distance. But we are spectator. We're kind of enjoying that scene, but nobody want to go there, you know, go near to the, you know, Niagara Falls to see the true, amazing power of water, waterfall. I think many of us, I'm afraid, we are just watcher. We don't want to be just a spectator. We want to be someone who really know God at the deep of the Lord. And God would allow that if you pursue him. So we said revival prayer has a width, which is intercession. And we should intercede for people. But revival also has a depth of prayer. By help of the Holy Spirit, we can see what God sees, and we can know what God wants. That's exactly what Jesus developed in his relationship with his Father. He said, I see what God sees, and I do what God does. How? Because divine knowledge landed on him as a divine person of Jesus? I don't think so. I think Jesus developed his intimate prayer life with his Father, so that he would know exactly what God is thinking. And he knew exactly what God was doing so that he would do the same thing. Only that thing that God is thinking, he did. And this is a prayer of intimacy. Intimacy is a depth of prayer. Intercession is a width of prayer, and intimacy is a depth of prayer. Prayer has two dimensions. And Moses was a model for us who developed his intimacy with God with a depth of prayer so that he may know God and his will. And look at verses 14 through 16. And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" So a person of intimate prayer who knows God is the one who intercedes for others. I think this verse talks about that. Intimacy with God and intercession for people are not two separate things from each other. The more you know about God, the wider your prayer would be, so that you can pray for intercession. So throughout the Bible, there are many people who were intimate with God, and they were also amazing intercessors. Abraham, you know that he was a friend of God, and yet he interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah and his nephew all his life. The same is true for Noah, Isaiah, Elijah, and Moses we see here. But by far, our Lord Jesus was the foremost intercessor for the people whom he loved, and even for the next generations. Why? Because Jesus was so intimate with his Father to know the Father's heart. Father's heart is nothing but love of people, love of sinners. As simple as that. And I think there are only two things, if we have to pick only two. It's being holy and be loving. God is holy, that's why we need to be holy. Because God is love, so we need to love others. That's a very simple thing. And Jesus is amazing intercessor because he had intimate knowledge of his Father. So through the intimate and interceding prayer of Moses, God spoke to Moses. One of the most assuring statements God can speak to any human. Verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." I have known you by name. It is one thing that we think we know God, but it is another that God knows you. God knows me. But God said to Moses, "I have known you by name." Does that mean just God knows Moses' name? No, it's not. Name means your whole soul. That's exactly when God showed up to Moses first time. God called upon his name, "Moses, Moses." You know, God knew about Moses even then. And now God is revealing to Moses at this juncture, "I have known you by name." And this is perhaps the most encouraging statement spoken by God to any human being. "I have known you by name." It's not just knowing your name. It means God knows you inside out. God knows you more than you think you know yourself. And God even knows your future. God knows your beginning because he's the creator of your being. And he knows what you're thinking now, even now. I may not know what you're thinking, but God knows you, what you're thinking. And then God set your destiny already. And God knows you where you will be ended up. And God said to Moses, "I have known you by name." That means I'm the God who sustains you. I'm the God who protects you. And I'm the God who gives the best things to you because I know who you are. You are nothing but a dust. That's exactly what Moses confessed. You know, we are nothing but a dust. God knows that. God assured of his acceptance of Moses by saying, I have known you by name. You know, with this encouraging word of God, Moses replied to God in verse 18, which is our last verse. You know what he said? I pray you, show me your glory. What does that mean? You know, God just said, and I have given you my favor, and I have known you by your name. And Moses replied, he still had more to pray to God. I pray you, show me your glory. You know, show me your glory is basically a petition to reveal God's face. You know, seeing God's face is not just seeing God's face, but knowing him at a much deeper level. You know, Moses dared to ask God to reveal him. You know, Moses knew God as if he is a friend. Besides, Moses just heard God's most assuring word of encouragement and approval. But Moses did not stop there. You know, if I were Moses, I said, wow, praise the Lord, you know. So, you know, I probably stopped right there, but Moses continued on. I pray you, show me your glory. That means there is always more of God Moses desired to know. There is no bottom. If it is a well, there's no bottom. The water continues to come out. And you may, you know, bring even longer, you know, bucket, you know, so that you can draw from the deep, and it never ends. So Moses relentlessly pursued God. And this is called intimacy. He pursued intimacy with God. And this intimacy Moses desired is at the heart and climax of a revival prayer. You know, at the end of the day, our task is to know God and glorify him. But to glorify him, we need to know God. The knowledge of the holy. A.W. Tozer, he wrote this book. Very thin book. I think some of you bought it because I recommend it. Buy that book, A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy. You know, that book will give you, you know, knowledge of God, you know, who God is. But anyhow, let's think about this. When Isaiah saw God, he thought he was going to die. And he said, woe to me, for I am ruined. Somehow he saw God. And then this is his confession. Woe to me, I am ruined. He thought he's going to die because he saw God. You know, Moses must have known this risk too. Unholy mortal man cannot face the God of holy. Because we are sinners. With our sin, sinfulness in us, we cannot face God. That's impossible. And Moses must have known it, but even then, Moses pressed on to know, show me your glory. I want to know you more. And God actually honored that. God didn't show his face, but he showed his, you know, wind as he goes through over Moses. And God hid Moses in the cliff, and then he moved above him. That's how much he can show. Because if God showed his face, Moses would be a dead man right there. God doesn't want Moses to die there, but he showed as much as he can for Moses to experience the glory of God. Intimacy is at the heart and the climax of the revival prayer. Intimacy. That's the final frontier. So let us recap today. You know, how shall we pray to God for revival? Very simple thing. Be available for God. Time is the most valuable commodity and very honest commodity. And we need to slice the time to pray for God for a revival. And second thing is be expectant from God. God is massive in His capacity and capacity. And God can bring about a revival even to a dead man. Do you believe that? Even to a dead man, He can bring a revival. And Ezekiel saw the bones, the dry bones, you know, resurrecting because God breathed His Holy Spirit upon them. They were coming alive from a dead bones. And nothing is impossible with God. And God will speak to you if you have the expectation. Don't say, oh, God will never speak to me. Don't say never. Never say never. That's a bad word. Because that means something is impossible with God when you say never. Have a positive attitude, and which is based on the Bible. You know, God is positive, most positive person in the whole universe. And be interceding for others. Intercession for others is an important way to pray, to widen your prayer. You know, I heard someone saying, oh, you know, I cannot pray more than like 10 seconds. I have nothing to pray. Is that true? You know, ask God whom you should pray for. Then God will give you, you know, many, many people, you know, in your vision so that you don't even have time to pray for all of them. Ask God whom I should pray. Then He will give you names and, you know, their faces and so on. You can go on just praying for the people. And last but not the least is to be intimate with God. This is our foremost and most important point. Be intimate with God in your prayer. You know, ultimately, intimacy is the heart and climax of our revival prayer. Revival is to know God and His heart. And this is always, there is always more of God to know. I think one guy wrote a book, it's called There Is More, right? There Is More. Randy Clark. There Is More. Pick up his book. Pick up two books. A.W. Tozer, The Knowledge of the Holy, and Randy Clark, There Is More. Two books will change your life. You know, revival is God's prerogative. Only God can bestow a revival. But we can pray for revival. You know, prayer is our duty. Upon the community that is praying for revival, God will send His revival. And I pray to the Lord that Jubilee Church may find God's favor and that His revival will take place amongst us so that we would be transformed, this community, and we would transform other churches and we would transform the nations and this nation and the beyond. Would you please close your eye for the moment? I just want to give you a time to dedicate your life to the Lord. You felt somehow your prayer life was not as you wanted to be, but today you are compelled by the Holy Spirit that you need to pray, you know, individually or corporately at the church. Let me challenge all of us, including myself, 21-day prayer. From today, I'd like to pray for next 21 days and slice a time for prayer to the Lord for your own individual prayer or in a corporate prayer, but for 21 days in a consecutive way from today. You know, if you are willing to pray together with other people who commit themselves, I want you to, you know, raise your hand if you are compelled to pray and you want to join this 21 prayer of, you know, in your secret chamber, and including the time that we pray together at church, I want you to raise your hand if you are compelled, if you are led by the Holy Spirit to pray. You know, lift up your hands a little bit higher so that, you know, it's between you and God. And if you feel you need to pray and you want to pray, and you show your hands to God, it's not to others but God, so that God would remember your commitment and He will help with your Holy Spirit, with His Holy Spirit. Yeah, thank you. You can put down your hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive us for our skimpy prayer life, but you challenge us to pray today by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Moses, who were just like us, but he relentlessly pursued you in his prayer to know you more. Heavenly Father, honor Jubilee Church. And let us pray for next 21 days consecutively in our personal devotion, to pray for ourselves, pray for our family, to pray for our finance, pray for the church, Jubilee Church, to be a recipient of God's revival, and pray for the nations, and pray for the leaders of the nations, and pray for the people who may not know Jesus, pray for the people who need help. There are so many things that we need to pray for. And Father, honor our dedication today so that we would pray 21 days consecutively, and we're going to see the world in a very different way. And we believe that you will fuel you know, each one of us in this room to pray with strength and expectation. And if we have not heard God's voice in our prayer, Father, we ask you to speak to us on an individual level as we ask for. And let us see your vision, let us see your glory, and let us see who you are, so that we'll be, you know, more intimate than ever before, so that a personal revival take place for the next 21 days, and that individual revival will gather together to trigger a revival in this community. Father, your kindness and your mercy, your favor be upon this church and everyone who are here in this room. Father, we give all the honor and glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name.
Find the strength.
Father, thank you that you have given the only name, one and only name by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ. Because of your grace manifested through your Son Jesus, we are here by faith. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.